PM asked states to suggest plan for staggered end to lockdown. On April 2nd, Prime Minister Narendra Modi had a video conference with the CM suggesting an efficient and a smooth exit amidst the lockdown. He outlined some steps and priorities such as adequate testing, tracing the people who are affected by the virus and isolating them. He also said that there must be an efficient supply of medical equipment, drugs, as well as separate hospitals for COVID-19 patients. Looking into the situation, the Prime Minister requested the CM to provide adequate protection for the doctors and health workers, as well as exempting the farmers from the lockdown. Geofencing app will be used to locate quarantine violators. The central government is planning to launch an app which will be used to locate quarantine violators in every other state of India. This app is already functional in the state of Kerala as well as in certain countries such as Singapore and South Korea. So, how will the geofencing app work? Well, geofencing app sets a virtual perimeter and monitors the movement of the person who is requested to home quarantine himself. This is done through tracking the location or placing geofencing tags on the person. If the person steps out of the virtual perimeter, it triggers the sensors and this information is sent to the authorities. The Department of Telecom has launched a geofencing app which is called as COVID-19 Quarantine Alert System, which collects the location data. The central government enabled an act which is Indian Telegraph Act 1885, Section 5, Clause 2, in which the telecom companies has to provide information about the person in case of public emergency and public safety. Thus, under this act, the telecom companies have to provide the location of the COVID-19 patients. Apart from this, the National Informatics Center and the Minister of Electronics and IT has launched an app which is called as Arogya Setu, which collects the location data as well as uses Bluetooth to warn people of potential contact with an infected person. Brazil seeks lifting of curbs on drug. The Directorate General of the Foreign Minister, DGFT, had implemented a ban on the export of hydroxychloroquine and paracetamol. These drugs can help to treat COVID-19 patients. Thus, the DGFT had to implement the ban for sufficient domestic needs. But President Donald Trump has requested Prime Minister Narendra Modi to lift the ban on the drug and to help them in this pandemic. He further threatened retaliation if the demands are not met. Likewise, Brazil and other South Asian countries have requested to lift the ban. This proves as an opportunity as well as a challenge to India. Since India is one of the largest producers of these drugs, they can promote exports, boost the pharmaceutical sector, and come out as a leader in this pandemic. But India has also to make sure that they don't compromise the domestic needs under international pressure. Thus, India has to maintain friendly relations with other countries as well as take care of the national interest. Hospitals warned of cyber attacks. The Interpol, that is the International Criminal Police Organization, has issued a purple notice against the cyber attack on the healthcare institutions. This also involves the hospitals who are treating COVID-19 patients. The attackers send an attachment to the designated computer system. Considering it to be important information, the hospital authorities are bound to download the information or click on the link attached in the file. But this attachment consists of malware which encrypts into the computer device and logs the system and data. To retrieve the data, the attackers ask for ransom in the form of cryptocurrencies. This can be proved as a major threat to the organization. Other than that, the cybercrime attackers attack the people who have been issued with work from home so that they can steal the company's corporate data and classified information. There is an increased number of cases in the areas of personal protective equipment, drugs, and antivirals. These attackers also attack in the form of a loan shark, which manipulates the customers belonging to the weaker sections to opt for this loan, which ultimately attacks the system. Lives and livelihoods. The lockdown implemented due to COVID-19 has reduced India under the dilemma of saving lives versus economic catastrophe. The government has announced a package of 1.7 lakh crore to deal with the crippling economy, but this accounts for only 1% of the GDP. Thus, the second round of economic relief is necessary. According to the article, the government must set aside the fiscal conservation and the fiscal responsibility and budget management targets, issue printing of money and increase the government spending so that it accounts for at least 5% of GDP. There must be more cash transfer, free rations and gas supply to the weaker sections of the society. Logistical support must be provided to the farmers as they can start to harvest and transport the items. The bank NBFCs must reschedule loans to reduce pressure on borrowers. The government must suspend Insolvency and Bankruptcy Act at least for the MSMEs. This will lead to loss of revenue and lead to high expenditure, but it will help revive the economy. This will help the business to get on track, easy cash flow, and sustainable demand. Here, quick and generous support is needed from the government. Manrega job crashed to 1% of normal. Under the Manrega scheme, the provision of the job to the rural sector has dropped to 1% due to the COVID-19 lockdown. Under this Manrega scheme, it provided a guaranteed 100 days of work as well as an average income of ₹209 per day. Over an average of 1.5 crore families were benefited under this scheme, but due to the COVID-19 lockdown, this has reduced to 1.9 lakh rural families. This scheme was initiated to benefit migrant workers, but there is no exemption from the state government regarding the lockdown, and thus there is less demand for jobs. Under the Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Yojana, they had decided to increase the daily wages of the workers by ₹20, which would have benefited almost 13.6 crore rural families. Since there is no exemption from the lockdown, most of the rural families can't avail these benefits. Looking into the matter, some social activists have approached the state government and requested them to help daily wage workers. Disinfected tunnels can cause harm. The disinfected tunnels that have been set up around the country can be potentially harmful to human beings. 0.5% solution of sodium hypochlorite is used as a bleaching agent, also known as Dakin solution. This solution is used to clean floors contaminated by bodily fluids. If humans come under contact with the solution, it can lead to sore throat and coughing. An exposure of 0.45% solution can cause damage to multiple organs, cause burning pain, swelling and blisters, stomach ache and diarrhea. In his recent interview, J.S. Thakur, chairman of COVID-19 prevention, has said that WHO has classified this solution to work only on surfaces and not on human beings. According to him, the disinfected tunnels are not an efficient model. Virtual reality. The patients diagnosed with arthritis or tuberculosis and other diseases are afraid to visit hospitals as they might get contracted with coronavirus. To rectify the situation, there is an alternate strategy, which is telemedicine. So, how telemedicine works? Well, the doctors are allowed to communicate with the patients through a video call, audio call, or through text. The patients can get a suitable prescription after adequate details are given to the doctor. The doctors allowed for this process is a registered medical practitioner who is enrolled in the State Medical Register or the Indian Medical Register under the Indian Medical Council Act 1956. The precautionary measures are that the patient's identity as well as the doctor's identity should not be anonymous. Telemedicine doctors are not allowed to endorse any sort of advertisements. As soon as all the physical examinations are done and adequate reports are being provided, then the telemedicine doctors can further provide them with certain directives. This will help people in rural areas and help them get suitable medical help. Technology has advanced in a way where image and sound files of a patient can be further sent to the designated doctors and treatment can be provided with the adequate information. With this technology come certain challenges as there is decreased human interaction and the doctors might not be able to provide with correct information, and there are certain cases where the provided information might be misused and leaked as well. Takeover fears. The government of India has automated the rule to ban foreign direct investment from neighboring countries that share a land border with India, such as Pakistan, Afghanistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Myanmar, and China. This ban was implemented to prevent China from hostile takeovers of the vulnerable companies, citing the COVID-19 lockdown. Similar concerns are being listed down by the countries such as Italy, Spain, France and Australia, and they have taken similar measures to ban FDI. Last 5 years, the FDI of China has increased and the current investment is around about 56 million in India. As there was an evident fear that Chinese investors might exploit the current situation, the ban was a necessary approach. Although there could be a nuanced approach, like the greenfield investments could have been exempted as they refer to the building of new projects and there is no threat of takeover. There could be an exemption to the venture capitals as they are not interested in the takeover and these investments are crucial for Indian companies. Also, the government must have provided with a clear approach to the market rule for Chinese investments as there is a ban on FDI and not on foreign institutional investors. Trump said to sign immigration order. US President Donald Trump has partially blocked the immigration into the US for 2 months. This decision was implemented to protect American jobs from the economic impact of COVID-19. President Trump has partially invoked a ban on the green cards, which provide permanent residency to the immigrants. This ban will exempt workers who hold temporary H-1B visas and farm workers who hold H-2B visas. This ban won't affect the people who already own a green card or are the permanent residents of the US. The ban will have a negative impact on those who were planning to apply for H-1B visas or for the green cards. It will have a major impact on the Indian diaspora as several workers seek job opportunities in the US. Government to suspend IBC rules for up to 1 year. The Government of India has decided to amend the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code to suspend the IBC Act for up to a year. This act was to carry out insolvency proceedings by the bank against the defaulters. The banks can issue insolvency against these companies who fail to pay back the loans. This comes under the Section 7 and 9. Under Section 10, it allows the companies to file for the insolvency code on their own. As the companies face high default loans due to COVID-19, the government has issued an ordinance to suspend these three sections for up to 6 months and, if required, to extend this period for up to a year. This decision will be a major relief for the companies as well as it allows the banks to regulate the new norms on the loans. Joining of giants. Recently, Facebook has acquired a 9.9% stake in Reliance Jio by investing an FDI of 43,000 crores. This is the largest investment in India's technology sector. This will lead to market domination as they have planned to provide all the services and products through one app called JioMart. It has also planned to provide other benefits such as providing customers with travel booking, air tickets, etc. This will ultimately lead to a competition against the giant e-commerce retailers such as Amazon and Flipkart, as well as digital payment apps such as GPay and Paytm. Kashmir gets the saffron tag. Recently, Kashmir saffron has been provided with the geographical indication tag. The GI tag is for the products having a unique quality that belongs to a specific geographical region, for example, silk from Kanchipuram and toys from Nirmal. This GI tag comes under the intellectual property rights regime, which is protected by the WTO trade-related aspects of property rights and regime. The GI tag is used to protect the brand, secures the market, and assures quality product to the consumers. The Kashmir saffron is grown as a spice in the Karawas Highlands of Jammu and Kashmir. They are grown in the regions of Pulwama, Srinagar, Kishtwar, and Belgaum. Kashmir saffron is a stigma which is obtained from saffron crocus or crocus sativus. Iran is the largest producer of Kashmir saffron, followed by India. It is used in traditional cuisines, cosmetics, medicines, as well as in the Kashmiri culture. Unicode nod for proposal to add Tamil characters to Telugu. The language and the script consist of characters, also known as letters, which need to be encoded on software products such as operating system, search engines, World Wide Web, etc. to reach out to different people. This is done through Unicode Consortium, as they set a standard for the language and the scripts in the software products. Unicode Consortium is a non-profit organization which specifies the representation of text in software products. The Unicode assigns code to characters from different languages in the world so that they can be understood and displayed across software platforms. Center draft new rules for satellite TV channels. The Information and Broadcasting Ministry Center has drafted new rules for satellite TV channels. The new guidelines have been issued regarding the uplinking and downlinking. Now, what is uplinking and downlinking? The channels to be transferred from the ground level to geostationary satellite is called uplinking, whereas the signals that are collected by the receiver dish antenna is called the downlink. The signal to be transmitted from the Earth to the satellite requires a medium called teleport. The teleport is a satellite Earth station which is used to uplink signal to a large number of TV channels to a satellite. These new guidelines were issued due to challenges such as technology, market, operational development, and ease of doing business. With the issuance of new guidelines, the company or the limited liability partnership is planning to launch a hub, teleport or a channel, they require permission and clearance from the Home Ministry. This clearance is valid for up to 10 years and it can be revoked if there are changes in the shareholding pattern without prior notice to the government, issuing of a new director, or showing a dual logo or name of the company. Violation of the guidelines will lead to issuance of penalties such as warnings, prohibition, and finally suspension. The live telecasts include news channels as well as non-news channels. In the previous guidelines, the news channels were allowed to live telecast their channel and cover footage as well. In this situation, the non-news channels are not allowed to telecast live broadcast. With the new guidelines, the non-news category can launch their live telecast under the issuance of Broadcast Seva Portal, which grants permission, registration, and license to the satellite TV channels. The TV channels have to issue a prior notice of 5 days to the Ministry of Broadcasting before launching a live telecast. The new guidelines have advantages as well as disadvantages. The concerns are regarding the discretionary powers to the government. The appointment of the new directors can be further issued after the nod from the government. If a company is functional for a certain period of time and then it is non-functional for a period of 60 days, then the government can issue a warning to the company, and further provocation on non-functionality for more than 30 days can lead to the suspension of license. Of course, in 2018, the Supreme Court issued a notice to the Union Water Resource Ministry, also known as Jal Shakti Ministry, to form Cauvery Water Management Authority. The Cauvery Water Management Authority was issued to address the water disputes between the states of Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and the Union Territory of Pondicherry. Cauvery Water Management will have a chairman as well as 8 authorities, in which 2 are permanent members and 6 are part-time members. This is with the issuance of new directories from the central government that the Central Water Management Authority will come under the administration of the Jal Shakti. Visage gas leak claims 11 lives. The chemical industrial disaster which led to a gas leak in the polymer manufacturing facility in Visakhapatnam has accounted to the death of 11 people. The leakage of the stearine gas over the radius of 3 km has caused certain issues among the nearby residents, such as breathlessness, nausea, etc. In total, there were 3 chemical disasters which were being registered. One is the gas leak in Visage itself, then the gas leak in Chhattisgarh, and the leak in the thermal plant in Neyveli located in Tamil Nadu. According to the Central Disease Control and Prevention Act of the USA, has notified that prolonged exposure to stearine gas causes neurotoxin damage which affects the central and peripheral nervous system. It causes tiredness, nausea, slows down the reaction, affects the motor ability, reduces the color vision, and affects the concentration power. Short-term exposure to the stearine gas can cause irritation to the mucous membrane of the eyes and lung, lead to gastrointestinal and respiratory issues. Chronic exposure to the stearine gas can cause damage to the neurosystem, motor abilities, and this gas have carcinogen elements responsible for cancer. But it hasn't been proved that the acute exposure to this gas can cause fatality. It may be due to the mixture of other toxic gases with stearine which led to the disaster. After a thorough investigation, we will be able to know what exactly caused the disaster. Contempt for labor. The government of Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh has allowed the dilution of the labor law by exempting the industries from this law to revive economic growth. This law is being temporarily abolished due to the economic slowdown amidst the pandemic. The labor law consists of certain rules such as the provision of minimum wages, basic health and safety, and providing for clean and safe working conditions. The MP government has amended the factories to increase their working hours for up to 12 hours a day and 72 hours per week. This will exempt the industries to abide by the labor laws for up to 3 months. On the other hand, the UP government has exempted the labor law except for the Child and Bonded Labor Act, Women Welfare and Safety, provision of daily wages, and providing compensations to the workmen in case of any fatalities. Eradicate it. According to the new directories, the Sudan government has outlawed the female genital mutilation. The reign of Omar al-Bashir for up to 30 years has been abolished and a democratic organization has been established. In 2019, the revolutionary movement was launched for a progressive institution. The female genital mutilation is a discriminatory practice against women which is practiced by the Orthodox society. FGM is evident in places such as Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. In FGM, the external genitalia is removed on the basis of non-medical backgrounds. The FGM was considered as a good practice in the name of ritual, customs and religion. This was done in order to control women's sexuality. According to the WHO, there is a long-term impact on a woman's health as well as emotional and physical well-being trauma. It causes several infections of the urinary tract and it can inflict emotional trauma as well as affect the sexual and the reproductive system of women. The FGM is also practiced in the Dawoodi Bohra community in India. But a ban alone won't be much effective. Strict enforcement of such laws must be established. Key conspirator in naval espionage case held. In Feb 2020, the Andhra Pradesh Police and the Naval Intelligence arrested 30 people, which included 11 Navy officers and 2 civilians. The officials were detained because they gave off sensitive information to Pakistan's ISI. How was this done? This was done through honey trapping. The honey trapping consists of a female and a male government official, and they get indulged into a romantic relationship. The female here tries to gain trust of the male official in order to obtain sensitive information and vice versa. There are 2 methods of honey trapping. One is the traditional method where 2 officials of different organization indulge in a romantic relationship and the other person tries to steal information, whereas the other way is to indulge through social media. After gaining the trust of the official through using social media apps, they inject malware in the system and the essential information of the Army, Navy and the Air Force personnel is recorded. To look into the issue, the government has launched an operation called as Dolphin Nose to find out the officials who are leaking confidential information. The Army officials and their families are requested not to post any photos regarding Army personnel and their ongoing activities on social media, not to transfer sensitive information and not to accept friend requests from strangers. After this incident, a strict ban has been imposed on the usage of smartphones amongst the Army personnel. Center throws open all sectors to private players. In order to revive the economy, the central government has allowed the state government to take money from the market to save their sectors. This borrowing has increased from 3% to 5% of the state's GDP. The increase from 3 to 3.5% is unconditional, and beyond 3.5, that is 1.5%, will be used for reforms. The reforms include ease of doing business, which include relaxation in terms of red tape and bureaucracy, changes in the power and labor sector, and to bring major changes in the food distribution. The food distribution consists of ghost account. Ghost account consists of people who are capable of buying food but still rely on subsidized groceries. As there is the ease of lockdown in certain states, the migrant workers are allowed to move from their working state to their home state. In between this, they require work. Thus, the government has provided the MNREGA with 40,000 crores, which will provide the migrant workers with daily wages in order to help the industries to deal with the bankruptcy and insolvency ordeal. The government has issued a law that proceeding against them cannot be initiated for 1 year. The insolvency framework, that is the eligibility for the loan for the micro, small and medium sectors, has been hiked from 1 lakh to 1 crore. One of the most affected by the pandemic is the students. In order to understand their dilemma, the PM has launched PM eVidya. This program provides multimode access for digital education to be launched immediately, consisting of Diksha for the school education, in-state content and QR energized textbook for all grades. One earmarked TV channel per class from class 1 to 12. Extensive use of radio, community radio and podcast. Top 100 universities will be permitted to automatically start online lectures from 30th May 2020. Locust crossed Thar Desert to invade 16 districts in Rajasthan. The desert locusts are a form of grasshoppers which proves to be a dangerous pest to agriculture. These pests are migratory and are in the form of swarms. These swarms consist of millions of locusts and they are voracious feeders. These pests have a higher rate of reproduction, to which it is a threat to agriculture. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization has said that these locusts are the biggest threat to food security and its spread is similar to the COVID-19. In Jan 2019, these pests were evident in the regions of South Sudan, Kenya and Somalia. It further escalated to the regions of Saudi Arabia and Yemen, to Iran and Afghanistan, to Pakistan, which led to the destruction of cotton and agricultural crops in the Sindh and Punjab province. This pest ultimately crossed the Thar Desert and is threatening to affect over 16 districts in Rajasthan. In order to protect agriculture, the Locust Swarm Organization in Jodhpur has established surveillance and monitoring of the affected areas, and with the help of farmers and other machines, will spray pesticides and insecticides to prevent the crops. Tracking Google. This article is with regards to the privacy violations by Google, which is one of the important search engines. There are two modes of Google. One is the normal mode, where if one searches for the information, others will be able to find out what he or she has searched by looking through the search history. Whereas in incognito mode, no one can access to the history, because in incognito mode, your browsing history is not saved. Although the website, school or organization, and the internet service provider can track the information you searched for in the incognito mode. But this is contradicted by the petitioners that Google violates the privacy of the users who search on incognito mode and it tracks all the information searched by the users. A case has been violated by the USA against Google of about $5 trillion as they have evidence that Google has violated the privacy of the users. The Federal Wiretap Act ensures that it cannot allow intentional interception of any wire, oral or electronic communication until the further notice by the government. And this very law is being violated by Google. Apart from this, a $170 billion fine has been slapped on Google as it breached California Privacy Act. Under the California Privacy Act, Google cannot access information or the search history of the children without parental consent, and yet Google violated this act and was liable to pay the fine. Another case of privacy breach is Arizona versus Google case. If we enable our location, Google is able to track us, where are we and where we are headed to. But if we disable our location, that means we don't want Google to know about our whereabouts. Yet with the disabled location, Google can still track us, which ultimately is the violation of privacy. In 2016, a lawsuit was filed against Google as it was tracking the Gmail users and used to flood their accounts with advertisements. Thus, Google is able to generate revenue through advertisements by violating the privacy of the users. Addressing the elephant in the room. Several days ago, there was a man-animal conflict citing the killing of an elephant in Kerala. The report says that the elephant accidentally consumed explosively laden fruit, which was meant to be for smaller animals such as boars and monkeys, as they destroy the crops. These smaller animals are also called as vermins, and under the Wildlife Protection Act 1972, the government has the right to the culling and hunting of such animals which are a threat to agriculture. This seems to be inhumane and against animal rights, but the elimination of vermins in the large scheme of things is a scientific way of protection of the environment, which ultimately protects the endangered species. This will also prevent the farmers from adopting illegal activities. Even though it's legal, certain wildlife activists oppose the killing of animals, which affects environmental conservation as well as affects the right of the farmers. The burden on the villagers must be reduced because they are being heavily affected by these vermins as they are not being paid with adequate compensation, and the payments to the farmers are delayed as well. Also, they have to meet the exceeding demands for urban dwellers, citing to the habitat destruction and only 25% range of protected areas, the elephants are exposed, which leads to man-animal conflict. To protect the interest of the farmers as well as the wildlife, adequate subsidies must be provided to the farmers so that they will adapt better methods to tackle the attacks. The National Board of Wildlife and Forest Advisory Committee must take adequate decisions for the diversion of forest land. Selling space. This article is with regards to the collaboration of commercial space exploration with the private organization in the space sector. Recently, the US-based private space company SpaceX, which is owned by the famous entrepreneur Elon Musk, launched astronauts from the US soil. This is a huge achievement with regards to the space organization, that is NASA, as it had to shut down its man-made missions citing budget constraints. The International Space Organization had to rely on Russia for space-related technologies, which used to cost US of around $80 million per astronaut. Now, as the homegrown space program has partnered with the private players, it reduces the financial burden on the government and it allows NASA to bring technological advancement without having budget constraint. Also, the private partner SpaceX has launched the Tesla Roadster car in the orbit around the sun, as well as proposed a plan where space travel will be as easy as air travel. Some Japanese billionaires have tied up with SpaceX for commercial traveling from the moon to back. This proves to be beneficial for the government as well as the private sector organizations. After the blowout, Oil India Limited will on fire. The natural gas producing mill, which is Oil India Limited in Tinsukia district of Eastern Assam, had a blowout on 27th May and has been leaking gas since then, which eventually caught fire. This mill is close to the Dibru-Saikova National Park. How did this tragedy happen? The reason is an unpredicted blowout. Blowout is the uncontrollable release of crude oil or natural gas from an oil well because the pressure systems have failed to work smoothly. There is a device called as blowout preventer that is used in the oil mills. It requires servicing and repairing for the equipment to function well. As it was being serviced, there was a sudden gas leak due to which fire broke out. There was an extensive damage to fish and endangered dolphins. Paddy fields have also been destroyed and the tea growers were severely affected as well. People around that area were immediately evacuated and placed in the relief camps. Measures are being taken by Oil India Limited, such as spraying adequate water. NDRF teams have been deployed in that area. Indian Air Force and Army are helping around, as well as experts from Singapore have been called upon to further look into the issue. New guidelines for import of exotic species. The Ministry of Environment Change and Climate Change has come up with the new guidelines for the import and export of exotic wildlife species. To control the illegal wildlife trade of zoonotic diseases, the Environmental Conservation Department has come up with new guidelines where the importer of such exotic species have to give away a disclosure and they should obtain no objection certificate for the existing stock of species. This restriction of the import of exotic species is in line with the CITES Convention that regulates the trade of endangered species. They have classified species under three appendix. Appendix 1 consists of a complete prohibition of the export of the animal and plants, and they can be used only for scientific study. Appendix 2 is where they can be traded internationally after acquiring the stated license. Appendix 3 is that countries can request the supply of some exotic species that are threatened in their region.
when animals or plants are being transferred from their original range to a new habitat, these species are called as exotic species, and screening of such exotic species is going to be thoroughly monitored.
Samples from Lunar Lake sent for testing. Lunar Lake, also known as Lunar Crater, is saline soda lake located near Buldhana district of Maharashtra, and this lake has turned pink. Similar colored lakes are found near the certain districts of Australia, USA and Iran. There are two factors which cause the lakes to turn pink. One is because of the natural cause and other is due to man-made tragedies. The lakes in Australia, the USA and Iran have turned into pink because of the reaction of Daniella algae and halobacteria, which causes a substance called beta-carotene responsible for the pink color. The recent man-made disaster in Russia leading to the oil spill in Amborna River has led to the crimson-red color of the river. MOD approves 33 new fighter deals worth ₹38,900 crores. The Defence Acquisition Council, held by the Defence Minister, has signed defence deals worth ₹39,000 crores. With the acquisition of 33 fighter jet planes from Russia, the ties between India and Russia has been improved. The recent events, such as the Defence Minister visited the Victory Day parade in Russia and Prime Minister congratulated Putin as he won a constitutional vote till 2036 for the presidential position, all heads up to the strong bonds between India and Russia. Russia further stated that it will fulfill all the defence needs required by India to deal with the twin challenges, that is, China and Pakistan. 21 MiG-29 will be provided by Russia, and 59 MiG-29 will be upgraded. 12 Sukhoi 30 will be manufactured by HAL, and Russia will provide the Indian version of Sukhoi 30. The procurement of Pinaka multi-barrel rocket launcher manufactured by DRDO is an artillery rocket system that is used by the Indian Army, and it helps identify the exposed enemy troops, armored and soft-skilled vehicles, communication centers, etc. This is a major relief for the Indian Air Force Army as it needed to increase the squadron strength. It has sanctioned 42 jets which will currently help the IAF to increase its strength from the current 30 fighter jets. MiG-29, Sukhoi 30 and LCA Tejas will be provided by Russia, and Rafale fighter jets will be provided by France. The DAC will sanction the upgrade of the BMP tank. The DAC will help boost the long-range attack capabilities of the jet and Navy equipments by providing the Navy and IAF with Astra Beyond Vision Air Range Missile, which is an air-to-air missile, as well as the long-range attack missile called Nirbhay, which is based on the subsonic cruise missile, and it has a range of about 1000 km.
Indigenous vaccine for pneumonia gets the nod. The Drug Controller General of India gave a nod for India's first indigenous conjugate vaccine, which is useful for treating pneumonia. This indigenous vaccine is also known as pneumococcal polysaccharide conjugate vaccine, which is developed by Serum Institute of Pune, and this vaccine is responsible for active immunization for pneumonia caused by Streptococcus pneumonia. Earlier, this vaccine was imported from different nations, but it has been replaced by Pune after having gone through 3 trials. Before getting to the conjugate vaccine, let us understand what is a pathogen. Pathogen consists of a molecule called an antigen, and our immune system detects these molecules and develops an immune response known as antibodies against the antigens. It is based on this principle that vaccines are developed. Vaccines generally contain inactive antigen in order to train our immune system to fight against the antigens. However, the conjugate vaccine works differently. It consists of a weak antigen and a strong antigen, which in this case acts as a carrier. This conjugate vaccine is developed in order to build a strong immune system against a weak antigen. Britain bans Huawei from the further role in 5G network. The USA has banned Huawei from further involvement in the 5G as they think that Huawei is closely linked to Chinese PLA and its intelligence agencies. Huawei is not only a leading manufacturer of mobile phones but also has a good stance over the telecom equipment, and the USA further instructed their operators and internet service providers to ban on the use of Huawei technologies. The USA expected the same from its allies, but a sudden ban is not possible. Thus, Britain came up with a new policy where they allowed Huawei to roll out for 5G. To ensure the cybersecurity, they excluded Huawei from the core system and restricted only 35% of involvement. This policy was heavily criticized by the USA, as countries such as the USA, UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand share the 5G system, where their telecom and cybersecurity are interlinked with each other. Thus, the USA thinks that this policy will indirectly target the USA security. Thus, the USA threatened Britain that they will cut off the security cooperation if they fail to ban Huawei services. Thus, complying to the pressure, Britain reversed the policy and banned all the Britain operators from buying 5G services from Huawei. Further, they have planned to remove all the existing 5G equipment from Britain infrastructure by 2027. But in order to avoid disruption in the UK market, the 4G legacy of Huawei can remain in Britain. UK vaccine prompts protective immune response in early tests. The Oxford University, which is based in the UK, has prompted a protective immune response in early tests against the COVID-19. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, scientists have been trying to find a suitable vaccine for it. Until now, the vaccine developed by Oxford University, that is ChAdOx1 novel coronavirus 19, is showing a positive immune response on the volunteers. The early trials of the vaccine have to take the safety of the vaccine under consideration, as well as generate an effective immune response to the human system, and this vaccine by Oxford University is showing promising results. This vaccine has minor side effects such as fever and headache, and according to them, this can be cured by paracetamol. As this has no severe effects on the body, this vaccine might be resourceful to us. Also, it gives a dual immune response to the body system, as it not only developed antibodies against the infection, but they also developed T cells, which is critical to target the spike protein of the coronavirus. If the antibodies target the antigens and protect the body from any infection, then the T cells, which is a type of lymphocyte, that is a part of our white blood cells, directly target the spike protein of coronavirus, which is responsible for latching on the ACE2 receptors in our cells, thus providing an entry to the coronavirus. However, this vaccine is at its early stages and there is a long time to go to actually obtain a vaccine against the coronavirus. Government bans PUBG, WeChat and 116 other mobile applications. Indian government bans 118 Chinese applications, which includes popular applications such as PUBG and WeChat work. According to the government, these Chinese applications are a threat not only to India's sovereignty and integrity, but also to the defense and security. According to the Indian cyberspace, the public order and users' privacy is at stake as these Chinese applications are a threat. Thus, taking the current scenario under consideration, the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology imposed a ban on 118 applications under Section 69A IT Act and IT Rules of 2009. A similar ban had been implemented in June on 59 Chinese apps that included TikTok as well. This ban is majorly due to the ongoing border tensions between India and China. According to our agencies, using these applications caused data transmission to foreign servers that ultimately led to a data breach, making these Chinese applications a threat to Indian security systems. According to the Indian Cyber Crime Coordination, MCA, also known as I4C, said these Chinese apps are malicious and are used for data mining and proliferating that violated users' privacy and also caused a threat to Indian cybersecurity.